بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. حضرت ابراہیم علیہ السلام سے کسی نے معلوم کیا اللہ نے آپ کو کن باتوں کی بنا پر اپنا دوست بنایا؟ Someone asked حضرت نبی ابراہیم علیہ السلام, Why did Allah تعالیٰ describe you to be his friend? The title of نبی ابراہیم علیہ السلام is خلیل اللہ. In his kalima also, لا الہ الا اللہ ابراہیم خلیل اللہ. Allah تعالیٰ had given him this title of خلیل اللہ, mean the friend of Allah تعالیٰ. All the anbiya, the friends and the awliya of Allah تعالیٰ, but Allah تعالیٰ specifically gave this title to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. So someone asked Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, on what basis did Allah Ta'ala proclaim you to be his friend? فرمایا تین باتوں کی وجہ سے. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam said that because of three things Allah Ta'ala described me to be his friend. The first is, جب بھی مجھے دو باتوں میں اختیار دیا گیا, میں نے ہمیشہ وہ بات پسند کی جس سے اللہ راضی ہو. So the first is that whenever I was given a choice, whenever there was a choice between two things, then I always chose that which in which is the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. That in which the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala is, I always chose that. A choice between two good things, two acts of ibadat, for example, to choose between the two acts of ibadat at this specific time, at this particular time, which specific act should be chosen? Both are acts of ibadat, pleasure of Allah Ta'ala is in both, but which is better? Hazrat Jafar Sadiq rahmatullahi alayhi, he said that the sign of an aqil, an intelligent person. An intelligent person is one who is able to choose between two good things. You are confronted with two good situations, but you are only able to do one at that particular time. Now, to decide what is the better of the two, that is, requires aqil, intelligence, that requires knowledge, and it requires also the company of the awliya. Must have sat in their company to understand these issues. It's not every person who is able to distinguish between two good acts. We generally act according to our nafsaniyat. Whatever our desire is, we will act. I would say, great buzruk, saint, wali in the time of Bani Israel, his name was Juraj. You must have heard this incident. He was performing Salat, and at the time while he was performing Salat, his mother called him. Now he was a great Buzruk, an Abid, saint, but he was not an Alim. He didn't know all the Masail. So now he was confronted with two issues, two good issues. One is to continue performing Salat, and the other is to respond to his mother. When the mother called, it is wajib also. He did not know the masala, was unable to distinguish now, and he continued with his salat, and the mother cursed him because he did not respond, and the curse fell on him. In the same way, one Buzruk, he spent his entire lifetime in the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala in the wilderness. On one occasion, very strong thought came to him, must join the Muslim army, join the jihad. The army was passing by in those days. People would just join into the Muslim army. There were all the rules and regulations you find today. But it was a time of the jihad was fardh kifaya. It wasn't the fardh ayn jihad. So he had a strong inclination to join this jihad. Left his hut, got up, and went out. As he went out, and he was now making an arrangement to join the army, then another thought came to him, and he started to reflect whether this inclination, whether it is from Allah Ta'ala, or whether it is from Shaitan. Now, he's faced with two good things. And finally, he decided, you know, this desire of his to join the jihad, now at this moment, it is from shaitan. Allah Ta'ala blessed him and gave him a lot of nur, by means of which they could understand. It was not a case of further in jihad. It was merely to gain thawab. Army wasn't in need of him. But shaitan was tired now. His nafs was tired of him. That from the morning till the night he was making jihad on his nafs. So the nafs thought that once and for all, if he goes and he gets killed, then I'm free. Shaitan felt he will be eliminated in this manner. So there are many situations where when we are confronted, we would do good things, two acts of ibadat, or two permissible things, both are permissible. Now what should we do at that particular time? So as I say, it depends on different factors, variety of factors, knowledge, and sohbat, companionship with the awliya, and understanding and nur from Allah Ta'ala that has come into heart, and then you or person understand these things. So Ibn Abi Ibrahim alayhi salam says that whenever I was confronted with two options, I always opted for that which in which was the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. The second is apne risk ke mamla mein jiska Allah ne wada kiya hai maine kabhi ehtimam nahi kiya. See, I never made any preparations, you know, never concerned about my risk about which Allah Ta'ala has promised. Allah Ta'ala has given the promise, the undertaking in the Quran and in the Hadith that He is responsible for our risk. So I never made any arrangement whatsoever for my risk. He was a Nabi, and then the awliya following in their footsteps also. Everyone, tawakkul is not of the same standard. We also have to follow in their shadow, And for us, it is the Sharia. It is the Sharia that we, as far as our risk is concerned, we have to follow only the Sharia and operate within the bounds of the Sharia. Then also we'll come into that category of tawakkul, as long as we submit to the Sharia. In other words, if there is anything in conflict, any of our activities, our business, or our employment activities are in conflict with the Sharia, then we don't bat an eyelid. We don't sort of reflect how should we do it or shouldn't we do it. If we are going to take that way, the spirit of the Sharia, we're going to lose a bargain, we're going to lose out, we won't make sufficient profit. That is not the attitude of a mu'min. And the Anbiya and the awliya, they physically often, they never make any arrangement for the risk. Allah Ta'ala sent the risk. Sent the risk, they will undergo trials, tribulations, but it will not bother them. For the masses, at least the minimum requirement is to submit fully to the Sharia. And whereas there is a clash with the Sharia, then you put the worldly side aside. And the third requirement is, the third thing he says, Mehman ke bighair kabhi khana nahi khaya. So I never ate my food without a guest. Never ate my food without a guest. Hazrat Abdullah Sal bin Tasdir rahmatullah alayhi, great wali, said that my best friends are the guests. He said, I always look forward to guests from, because they are the messengers of Allah. A guest is a messenger of Allah Ta'ala. In which way? Allah Ta'ala is the sole provider of everyone's risk. No one provides anyone's risk. No one is not the parents who provide the risk for the children, nor does the husband provide for the wife. No one provides for it. Only Allah Ta'ala provides. But this in this physical world, in this material world, Allah Ta'ala has created agents and agencies and means. Because we consider our insan is ruh and disembodied. He has a spiritual side and he has a physical side. He's a physical and spiritual being. So in this dunya, Allah Ta'ala has created material agencies for his sojourn, for his living, for his journey in this dunya. So Allah Ta'ala sends our risk through an agent, through some agency, some way, some means, sending it to us. So when the guest comes to your home, when you feed somebody, He is the messenger of Allah Ta'ala. In this respect, that Allah Ta'ala has sent him to collect his risk from you. You are the Amin. The Amin, the trustee. Allah Ta'ala has placed that person's risk in your custody. It's an amanat with you. He has come to your door. So you have to serve him that amanat which Allah Ta'ala has placed in your custody. So it is Allah Ta'ala's favor upon a person. When a guest comes to him or a poor person comes to him, and you have to feed that person, not doing any favor. So we should not become frustrated, despondent, tired when there are occasions to serve people, to feed them. So Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam said, I never ate without a guest. On one occasion, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was looking for someone, there was no one. He went outside and he saw one old man and he called the old man inside. And when he sat there, he told him to join him in meals. And the old man sat and was about to eat. Just before he ate, he turned himself towards the sun. And he said a prayer to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Asked him, what are you doing now? He said, I'm thanking my God, the sun. He was a sun worshipper. Sun worshipper for the food he's giving to me. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was angry with the Muslim and he told him to get you out. Allah Ta'ala is providing you with risk and you are worshipping the sun. And he expelled him from there. As soon as he left, Allah Ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam to come and reprimand Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam that what you have done is improper. His risk, whether he is eating with you or whether he is eating outside, wherever I am providing his risk. His entire life of this person has passed by in this manner, and the life of all the kuffar and all the mushrikeen, and I'm feeding them. I'm feeding them. But you are not feeding him. His risk was put out today by you on your table. So it was not a good thing to have expelled him. You called him inside. So Nabi Ibrahim ran after him, apologized profusely, and brought him in and fed him. So this was Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam's thing. It was his special trait in Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam to always sit with a guest, never sit and eat alone. On the basis of these three qualities, Allah Ta'ala described him to be Allah Ta'ala's friend. Not on the basis of abundance of nafil acts of ibadat. Nafil acts of ibadat is necessary, very important, but Allah Ta'ala described Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam as his Khalil and his beloved friend on the basis of these three activities.